Right, well, now it's time to join Diane O'Carroll for this week's question of the week.
This week, if you drive towards the transmitter, do I talk a lot faster and higher?
Hi, Naked Scientists. My name is Jeff. I teach at the University of Pittsburgh in the United States, and I'm a big fan of the program, as is my daughter, Sam. I thought of this while listening to the Naked Scientists in my car. We've all heard the way in which sounds change frequency as an ambulance passes us with its siren going. What I wonder is whether a conventional radio broadcast experiences Doppler shift when we're driving toward or away from the transmitter. Does the pitch, or more likely the tempo of a pop song, go up if I'm driving toward the transmitter, even if I can't perceive it? I figured that the Doppler effect wouldn't affect digital broadcast, but I'd like to know about that as well. Thank you.
Or when you move away, does everything sound a little slower?
Okay, so I'm Professor Stafford Withington. I'm in the Department of Physics at the University of Cambridge. So I think the question is quite subtle and actually has three parts to it. Well, the first part of the question is very straightforward. Do radio waves exhibit the Doppler effect? And they certainly do. And anyone who's been caught speeding by a policeman using a microwave speed gun certainly knows that that's the case. And a police speed gun uses the Doppler effect to determine your speed relative to the police car. The second part of the question is, if I now encode some audio information on a radio wave, does the Doppler effect get imparted onto the radio signal? That's much more subtle and needs thinking about carefully. I mean, basically the question is, let's say I have a radio program like Radio 3 playing an oboe, and the oboe is playing a perfect A. If I put my radio to my ear and move towards the transmitter at high speed, do I expect to hear the oboe's note increase? And the answer is closely related to the way in which the amplitude signal is encoded onto the radio signal. And it can be done in two ways. Traditionally, amplitude modulation was used, and this is where the audio information is encoded on the radio signal by modulation of the amplitude of the radio signal. More latterly, people use frequency modulation, and there the audio signal is encoded in the form of the frequency of the transmitted wave. And it can be shown through some rather delicate arguments that in both of those cases, in fact, the audio signal does take on the Doppler effect. So in other words, you would expect the oboe's note to change by some very small amount.
But how small will these differences be?
The third part of the answer, however, is whether the effect is detectable. And the problem is that when you derive the appropriate equations and put the numbers into the equations, what you find is that for an audio signal, the shift in frequency is exceedingly small. So even if I was to put a radio to my ear and move towards a transmitter at something like 10 meters per second, then you can show very simply that the shift in frequency of the audio signal would be of the order of thousandths of a hertz. And I'm afraid that the average radio receiver, and indeed human hearing, is not good enough to detect those changes, but it would be possible, in fact, quite straightforward, to build an instrument which would detect that change. So the digital case is rather different again, because the audio information is encoded in a very complicated way. And so that, if you like, the coupling between the listener and the radio wave that originally transported the information to the listener's home, that coupling is a very, very weak one. There's all sorts of electronics between those two stages in the process. And so a digital signal will not display the Doppler effect.
So in analog transmissions, Doppler effect can potentially alter the pitch of broadcasts very, very slightly. And quite frequently, space agencies will have to account for the Doppler shifts on radio signals sent by their space probes, which are moving away from Earth so quickly. And RD added on the forum that spaceships travelling by at high speeds might need to retune their radios because of this Doppler shift. Next week, why do crocodiles all look the same?
My name is Mike from Battersea in London. My question is about the stability of change with crocodiles. We learn from various sources that all birds, incredible variety of birds, came from a small pool of dinosaurs, and mammals apparently all came from a shrew-like creature. I just wondered why crocodiles seem to be very stable over the same sort of period. Is there something special about their DNA, or is it just the environmental factors that keep them moulded the way that they are? Anyway, hope all is well. Thanks very much.
Why haven't these reptiles changed that much over time? Let us know what you think by emailing chris@thenakedscientists.com or by writing on the forum at thenakedscientists.com/forum.
Thanks, Diana. That was Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week. Well, we've actually had some really good responses to this one, including an email from Julian Brewer, an RF engineer at Rutherford Appleton Lab in Oxford. Now, he agrees that radio waves themselves are subject to Doppler shift, but he says that the information is actually encoded in such a way that it's the relative relationships that give you the tone. As such, even if you change the frequency of the carrier, the decoded signal will still sound the same. Now, we're going to put all of these points of view and lots more on the forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum, so you can have a look and see what you think. Diana will be back with us next week, but in the meantime, if you want to have your say, do drop us an email or write your thoughts at the forum on thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Thank you very much, Helen. It is interesting to see that crocodiles seem to be almost immune to evolution. They haven't changed for millions of years. Looking forward to hearing the answer next week. But that's all we have for this week. Next week, Dr. Chris, Dr. Kat and Dave Ansell will be taking on your science questions. So do get in touch if you've got anything at all that you want the team to answer. There are lots of ways to get in touch. You can email us at chris@thenakedscientists.com, tweet @nakedscientists, post a question on our Facebook page, or you can join in the discussion on our forum. That's thenakedscientist.com/forum. If you want to catch up with anything we've done in the past, see our experiments or follow up on any of the news stories we've covered, join us online at thenakedscientist.com. Many thanks go this week to Ewan Ashley, Todd Humphreys and Choho Ma for joining us, and to our production team, Mira Senthilingam, Dave Ansell, Sarah Custer-Perry, Tom Simpkins and Diana O'Carroll. We'll be back with more very soon.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.